Praise the Lord, as we were reminded already this morning, what a great privilege and what a glorious honor for each one of us to be involved in gospel-focused and Christ-centered ministries around the world. Don't you think that it's a great privilege and it's a great calling, not only for me, but for each one of us, wherever the Lord has placed us. And whatever be our spiritual gifts, and wherever the Lord is leading us, and whatever realm of ministry he has chosen for us, gospel-focused and Christ-centered, that is our ministry. Whether it is to children, whether it is to adults, whether it is here at home, or whether it is around the world. So thank you very much for your very faithful, focused prayers for us as we were traveling in different cities in Albania. God willing, maybe at a later time, I will be able to share more of the ministry in Albania and in Eastern Europe. As we know, Europe as a whole is spiritually very, very barren. It is very difficult to see a good, solid assembly in Europe, anywhere in Europe. We know what is happening in UK, the mainland, and also in other parts of Ireland. The Assembly Witness has thrived there once a time. It was the home of the great Brethren Revival movement. But I don't have to say this, you know that. The situation there is not very good. But if we take Southern Europe and Southeastern Europe, the Balkans, where Albania is a part of, there also the situation is not very good. But the Lord has kept a faithful remnant wherever we go. There are assemblies, there are people of God, there are radio ministries, there are MA's courses, there are prison ministries, there are people who are committed to the Word and to the New Testament pattern, and even though they are very small in number, they are doing their part in many places, making a good and a solid impact for God's glory. You know, Albania, for most of us who have come from India, Albania was the homeland of Mother Teresa, who has done commendable and noble things in India for a number of years. Mother Teresa International Airport is the name of the airport in the capital city of Tirana. The assembly ministry started 20, 25 years ago, primarily by Italian missionaries, but they concentrated on the capital city, and George Sturm and family moved there 20 years ago, and the Lord mightily used them to establish assemblies, almost 15 assemblies in three major cities and also in some neighboring smaller towns. So those assemblies are, I cannot say all of them are growing, but they are sustaining well, and they have their own challenges. Lack of pastoral leadership in many places, lack of full-time workers, all these things negatively affects the growth of the assembly. Many are new believers. Some of them, even though they are not quite new, they are not very mature. And Brother George, when he leaves the country to go to North Korea, then they feel that they are all left alone. You know, wherever missionaries have gone, people have a tendency to be too much dependent upon them. That's a natural thing, trend we have seen in Africa and in other parts of the world. That you can find that in Albania also. But Brother George and family comes back almost every, at least three times a year, and tries to help that work. There are two radio ministries that are very evangelistic and that are reaching out to many people in the Albanian language and get a lot of response from different parts of the world, even from US, people who only speak the Albanian language. The first radio is Radio Logos by George Sturm, has established that ministry. And the second one is Alpha Omega Radio. These two are major evangelistic work. Like in Africa, the MA's work is doing a commendable thing. Like that in Albania, I could not see much of the MA's work, but I could see the effect and the power of this radio ministry. So that is something about which we can be very happy. And if you remember Albania, pray for Radio Logos and Alpha Omega Ministries, two major evangelistic outreach arms of the Brethren Assemblies in Albania. Then in the tourist centers, they have outreach work. You know, very interesting thing is, Albania, even though predominantly Muslim and also Greek Orthodox Church, the Muslims are very passive. They are not very radical. And they coexist very peacefully with the Christians. What a tremendous opportunity. It is so unique. You will not find that in any other part of the world where there is Muslim domination. It's uniquely special to Albania. The reason is, in the 14th century, when the Ottoman Turkish Empire conquered Albania and the Balkans and the southeastern Europe, they forcefully converted the Greek Orthodox people into Islam. And they were persecuted, and many of them fled from different places. Many of them came as refugees to Albania. Albania has a lot of mountains. If you are prone for car sick, Albania is not a good place for you. Windy roads everywhere. Very beautiful, but very, very windy roads. You know, zigzag windy roads. We barely survived in travel. You know, we did not have any problem, car sickness or anything. But we were concerned. And I was also very concerned when I was there last year. Very beautiful, very natural, very scenic, but it is all high mountains. Albania is a country of mountains. And the Ohrid Lake, which is very beautiful, bordering Macedonia. So the Ottoman Empire in the 13th and 14th century took over Albania and Eastern Europe, and they forcefully converted the so-called Christians. And those Christians who were forcefully converted to Islam did not really embrace Islam. You know what I mean? So their descendants all became very passive Muslims. Now, in the three assemblies where we went, there are many young people who are born again, baptized, and in fellowship, but their parents are still Muslims. Some of those families gave us dinner, hosted us. We went, met with their Muslim parents. They would come, listen to our prayer. Sometimes they would even come to our meeting, very passive, not practicing. So that is a great advantage, that the Christians are not persecuted. There is no competition between Christians and Muslims. Still freedom for open air, tract distribution, house visitation, everything. And the new generation Muslims who are coming from other parts of the world, they want to change this situation and radicalize it. So that is another matter of concern and another matter for prayer. And it is looming large in the horizon. It can happen any time. The older generation, very passive, you know, but the newer generation, which has been instilled by radical ideologies imported from other places, when they become the majority, the situation is going to change. But right now, very peaceful. They all coexist peacefully and no problems. It is absolutely wonderful. So this is the day, this is the time for Albania. And, I was encouraging the believers to have a real sense of urgency and to do their best to redeeming the time in propagating the gospel and to do other ministries. Now, during our trip, you know, it was all well planned, and the believers there, they meticulously planned everything from last year, prayed for it. We had a couples retreat. It was a variety of programs and meetings. We started with a couples retreat. 7 selected couples in their mid-30s. We spend 2-3 days together studying the word, counseling, praying for one another, and encouraging. And that was like heaven on earth in the Voskapoy Mountains of Albania, in a resort place. You know, they all took leave, closed down their business, they all came, and we had wonderful time. Valsa led some sisters meeting, and then we had a special sessions for elders, then some special counseling sessions and gospel meetings, then other times for teaching the word of God and encouraging the believers. Variety programs, very carefully and prayerfully planned, and it yielded much result and fruit. So pray for Albania, pray for the storms, and pray for that this the present situation of the freedom may continue. You know, if you read Romans chapter 15, verse 19, we read that Paul writes this, from Jerusalem to Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel. Illyricum is the old Roman name for Albania. So the Albanians believe that Paul came from Jerusalem in his travels and also came up to Illyricum and preached the gospel. Now, another very historically, archaeologically important thing in Albania is in different parts of Albania, you can see the remains of the old Roman road from the New Testament time, which is historically known as Via Egnatia. So that is the road through which that helped the propagation of the gospel during Pauline times. The Romans built a beautiful highway. And even today, you know, in northern Greece, they have followed, the new highway is built in the same route, like the old Roman highway, and it's very beautiful. We had a bonus blessing for our trip, the storms. They took us for 3 days to northern Greece to visit the footsteps of Paul, to Thessaloniki, to Berea, Amphipolis, Apollonia, and Philippi and Neapolis. So that was a treat, you know, exactly Acts 16 and 17. We followed the same direction and we got down and praised God for the great ministries which Paul did, that we also are able to do the same thing in a small way. And even though we cannot religiously follow the footsteps of Paul like pilgrims do, that we prayed that spiritually and in our life and ministry we may be able to follow the footsteps of the great apostle. So thank you very much for your prayers. And we were also specially praying for ELBC because of the VBS. And I have never prayed for VBS as I have prayed this time. One reason is, I was reading the Gospel of Mark, and during the VBS week, I was, you know, in chapter 10. So may I draw your attention this morning to a passage which I have not seriously considered in the past, but during my quiet time and reading, thinking about VBS and thinking about children and thinking about our own ministry in Albania, all these things put together, this passage became a mighty blessing in my own heart. Mark's Gospel, chapter 10. Jesus loves the little children. I'm going to read from verse 13 through 16. Mark 10. Then they brought little children to him that he might touch them. But the disciples rebuked those who brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased and said to them, "Let the little children come to me and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it." And he took them up in his arms, laid his hands on them, and blessed them. Now, looking back to the last several years of ELBC history, we have tried different ways of reaching out to the community and reaching out to the neighborhood. And we have seen that one of the most effective ministries which we are able to do, we had disappointments in other areas of ministry, what a great celebratory mood we have when we think about our children's ministry. You know, the apartment ministry right now going on with Sharon, and also Jesse's gym ministry, ELS class and kids club, and our VBS and our Sunday school. All these things, some of you, you know, more than I, some of you have tremendously contributed sacrificially. And the Lord has blessed our assembly and have given us a great vision. And as a result of our ministry among children, we were also able to take the gospel to their parents. Now, so I believe this passage has a special significance for all of us. And in my lifetime, I have never considered it with this intensity. Now, if you look at the preceding verses, it is the Pharisees' questions about marriage and divorce. So, immediately after that, Mark places Jesus blessing the little children. So, I believe they were guided and inspired by the Holy Spirit. But they also, the Lord also gave them beautiful and very careful literary device to place their materials in order. Because the first 12 verses of Mark's gospel talks about the sanctity of marriage and the permanence of marriage. And it is very evident that Jesus had a high esteem for family and marriage relationship. And probably this may be the reason that some parents who heard what Jesus was talking to the Pharisees, they were encouraged to bring their children to Jesus, because marriage leads to family and a home. And frequently, marriage relationship is blessed with children. So the first 12 verses talks about marriage, family, permanence of it, about divorce, and what the Lord's will and plan and purpose for the couple. And then it naturally moves to Jesus blessing the children, because marriage and family and that relationship has to, you know, it has to go, it has to extend from the husband and wife and naturally to children. So, and to a home. So I believe that by listening to what the Lord was teaching to the Pharisees about marriage and family and all those things, some parents were really encouraged that Jesus has high appreciation for the family and a high esteem for the family. So they brought little children to him. Many of us in this assembly, we have so many young couples, and many of us grandparents, we know what that phrase means and the appeal of that phrase, the little children. In the parallel passage in Luke, he uses the word infants. You know, in the words that are particularly used for children in the New Testament, particularly in the Gospels, girls under 12 and boys under 13 come, you know, under that category. So, we do not exactly know their age, but they are little ones. Later we read that Jesus took them in his hands. So, they are those cutie pies, those little ones. You know, the parents brought them to Jesus. And why did they bring them? That he might touch them. Now, In the parallel passage in Matthew chapter 18:19, we read that he might touch them and bless them and pray for them. And that is the reason, you know. And verse 16 of Mark 10, we read, Jesus took them up in his arms, laid his hands on them and blessed them. So touching means not just to touch them, but to bless them. You know, and it was also a rabbinic practice in those days that parents will bring children to the rabbis, and they will touch and bless the children and invoke a prayer for them. So they brought little children to him that he might touch them. Now, You know, the thought that came to me that children by themselves may not come to Jesus. They cannot come in that age. They are little. The smallness, you know, in Luke used the word babes or infants, probably to denote the smallness, the littleness of the children. They are totally dependent upon the parents. So they have to be brought to Jesus. So that is a great responsibility on the parents, that we are called to bring our children to Jesus. They have to be brought because they depend on us for everything, and they have no initiative in themselves. The non-initiativeness and the dependence and the helplessness. So it is our responsibility to take the time and the effort to bring the children to Jesus. So that is a great spiritual application I am finding here. They brought the little children to Jesus. Now, it is very important to note that, you know, they were actually, it is an imperfect tense, so they were continually bringing the children. They really wanted Jesus to touch them. So they brought the little children to Jesus that he might touch them. So the purpose of bringing our children to Jesus is that Jesus may touch them. Jesus may intervene in their life. Jesus may bless them. Jesus may lead them to salvation. Jesus may help them. Jesus may cure them. Jesus may comfort them. Jesus may meet their needs. Even in the gospel narratives, we read that Jesus has healed the children. He also raised a child, a little girl who was dead, Jairus' daughter. So Jesus cares for the spiritual welfare, not only the spiritual welfare, but the physical well-being of our children. Now, children, when they grow, they go through sickness and they go through difficult times and problems, and parents are always concerned about it. Grandparents are always worried about it. So what a comforting passage that we can bring our children to Jesus, that he may touch them, he may heal them, he may bless them. And here we find that they were brought to the Lord Jesus Christ. By way of spiritual application again, we must know that only he can touch, only he can bless. Children, our children need the touch of Jesus, that tender love of Jesus resulting in salvation. So let us take every effort to expose them to Jesus. That is the thought that came to my mind by way of homiletical application, you know, that let us make every effort and introduce them to Jesus, bring them to Jesus. They are helpless, they cannot come alone. So bring them to Jesus. Look at the second part of verse 13. But the disciples rebuked those who brought them. The reason is not given why the disciples rebuked the parents who brought them. Now, there can be several possibilities. The common idea that Jesus is mainly for the adults, you know. Jesus is only for the adults. The little children is a waste of time. They cannot comprehend what he is teaching. So that adult-only kind of syndrome, Jesus is only for the adults. I do not know whether that was pervading in their minds, or Jesus is on an important mission and there is no time to waste. So they were kind of filtering the people who are coming to Jesus. They are on an urgent mission, a very important mission. So the disciples had the responsibility to filter and to make sure that their time is well spent and well planned. That can be another reason that the time should be better spent with the adults, because Jesus is on a great mission and the little children cannot understand what Jesus is teaching. So Jesus is, you know, for adults. There can be another thought which at least comes to you know, maybe after I became a grandfather, it never occurred to me, but before that, it has occurred to me several times. They are not important, you know. Children are not important. For a grandfather now, grandchildren, they are more important than their children. So, you know, but before we reach that stage and before we really start appreciating those things, many a times we would think that children are not important. And that may be another reason that they rebuked the people who brought them. Look at verse 14. But when Jesus saw it, he was indignant. He was greatly displeased. It is actually the word indignant. Mark uses it again in chapter 14, verse 4. Judas' resentment of Jesus being anointed by Mary. Judas became indignant, furious, you know, very angry. And this is the only time that word is used of Jesus. Jesus became indignant at the disciples, you know. Why Jesus became indignant? That is something very important for us to consider. Jesus became furious and angry and indignant. The only time Jesus is said to be indignant is here. There is another important thing we can learn here, that is, even though Jesus is the Son of God, in the gospel narratives, the writers take the time to record the human emotions of Jesus and how he identified with us, about his compassion, about his love, about his anger, about his sorrow, and about his indignation. Now, the people, the disciples rebuked and hindered them from bringing the children. Let us pause there for a minute. Through our life and through our actions, we may also hinder children from really coming to Jesus and knowing who Jesus is. There is a danger of hindering. You know, there is a danger of hindering. When we think that they are unimportant, we are hindering the children from coming to Jesus Christ. When we abuse them physically or verbally, you know, we are hindering them from coming to Jesus or knowing Jesus. Then when we do not live our life loving Jesus, how can children be attracted to Jesus? So when we really do not love the Lord Jesus, and when we do not build our life upon the Lord Jesus Christ and his teaching, when we are not saturated with our passion and love for the Lord, that can also be a hindrance. You know, a gospel-saturated home and a Christ-intoxicated life, as one writer has put it. You know, a gospel-saturated home and a Christ-intoxicated life is essential before the children, for the children to be attracted to who Jesus is, what Jesus is, and how they should also love and come to know the Lord Jesus. So in verse 14, we also find the caring love of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus took the time for the children. Jesus touched the children. Jesus blessed the children. And Jesus prayed for the children. Now, the Lord Jesus took this opportunity to teach the adults. That's interesting, you know. The Lord Jesus took this opportunity of the children coming to him. He took this opportunity to teach the adults about something about the fundamentals of the gospel, about entering the kingdom. Look at the second part of verse 14. Let the children come to me. You know, he said to them. So now the message is to the adults. The children are object lessons of the gospel. Children remind us about the gospel truth. So the Lord said, let the little children come to me. Do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verse 15, assuredly, truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, will by no means enter it. So this is a great lesson about entering into the kingdom of God. The words are to the adults. Permit the children to come to me. Do not hinder them. Two imperatives. Because such is the kingdom of God. Now, what is the relationship between the children and the kingdom of God? Entering the kingdom of God. Now, let the children come to me and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. Coming to Jesus Christ is equivalent to entering the kingdom of God. The Lord Jesus here equated coming to him and receiving him as equivalent to entering the kingdom of God. I believe by implication, you know, even though that passage itself does not amplify it, does not explain it, there are several lessons that are very clear here. The children are little, they are small. The littleness, that smallness, shrinking in ourself is very important for a person to enter the kingdom. Remember what the Lord said? Enter through the narrow gate. The narrowness of the gate. The narrow path and the narrow gate. That means you cannot bring your baggages with you. You cannot bring your kingdom with you. You cannot bring your glory with you. You have to shrink in yourself. The smallness and the littleness. And dying to self and the, you know, becoming small in yourself. The smallness and the littleness of the children reminds us about the narrow gate, shrinking in ourselves. Number two, it reminds us about total dependence on God. You know, children are likely to depend on us for everything, for their parents. So, the dependence of the children and the childlike faith is also another requisite in entering the kingdom. The third thing, the helplessness. So, the smallness, the dependence, the faith aspect, and the helplessness of the children. You know, they are helpless. Until we help them, they have no help. So, the helplessness of the children. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Naked come to thee for dress, helpless look to thee for grace. Foul I to the fountain fly, wash me, Savior, or I die. That is helplessness. That is shrinking in self. That is total dependence. That is being poor in spirit. Like a child, that is how you have to come to the children, to the kingdom. So the Lord is saying that these children, unless you become like these children, that is the lessons they teach us about our own spiritual life and the need to enter the kingdom and the requisites to enter the kingdom, these children loudly teach us. Now, it is not about the innocence of the children. Children are not innocent, you know. They are born in sin, you know. It is not about the innocence or the purity or the cuteness or the humility of the children. Some people misunderstand this passage. That it is not about that. It is about the dependence. It is about the helplessness. It is about the smallness and littleness. And it is about totally casting on the mercy of the parents, on others. And children also are hopeful. See, when the children comes to the parents with empty hands, they are hopeful the parents are going to give them something, you know. So our children come to us empty-handed with the hope that, you know, even when we came from Albania and visited Eva, she was hopeful that we brought, you know, something, and we sure did. So, you know, their empty hands are filled by others. So we are hopeful. It is with that great hope and promise that we should come to the Lord Jesus Christ. So this is not about their innocence or humility or purity, but it is about their teachableness, it is about their smallness, it is about their helplessness, it is about their dependence, it is that they are prone to trust. And unless and until a person has this mindset and attitude, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. The rule of God, which starts in our life, in our hearts, and finally it will be consummated all over the world when the king returns. A couple of more observations. Verse 15, assuredly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God, coming to Jesus is receiving the kingdom. Look at the word receive, you know, dekamai. In the Gospel of John, you know, receiving is equivalent to believing and welcoming. As many as received him, you know. So receiving in the gospel terminology is a technical term for faith and for belief. So assuredly I say to you, whoever does not receive, welcome the kingdom of God as a little child. And we looked at what is the meaning of as a little child, will by no means enter into it. And he took them, those little children, one by one. Our Lord took them up in his arms, laid his hands on them, and he blessed them. Now there is a great difference between the rabbinic blessing and the blessing of the Lord Jesus. The rabbis invoked a prayer that God may bless them. But the Lord Jesus Christ himself is the blesser. He's a greater rabbi. He's God himself. He's not simply asking somebody to bless them. When we pray for our children, we pray, ask the Lord to bless them. And that is what the rabbis also did. But here, the Lord himself blessed them. So this passage reminds us about Jesus loves the little children, and our need to love the children and to expand our ministry among the children, and to do that ministry as a great ministry, as a noble ministry, with great vision and with a great passion. For some of us, the Lord has given us that burden, that vision, that ability, that giftedness, and we want to stand with you as you serve the Lord by serving the children and by teaching the children and by ministering to the children. And I believe it is also a good practice that when we bring the newborn babes, you know, not as a legalistic requirement, but in the fellowship of God's people, to pray for them and expose them to the assembly and ask the Lord to give them the opportunity that in the company of the believers in the assembly, that our children may grow in the grace and knowledge of our Savior, you know, and he blessed them. Finally, the word blessed, it is an intensive form of the word blessed, which can be translated as he blessed them fervently, because The word bless is with a prefix, kata, which means, you know, it intensifies the word. So it is not simply blessed, it is blessed fervently. With overflowing love and concern, the Lord fervently, eagerly blessed the children. He took them in his arms. What a way for us to love our children, to pray for them, to bring them to Jesus, to introduce them to the love of the Savior, and to be committed to the great ministry the Lord has given to us to work among them. May these thoughts be a great encouragement and a great blessing to us as a church family as we continue to minister to children in various ways. Shall we pray? Loving Father, we thank thee for the various opportunities the Lord giving to us day by day in different parts of the world to love you and to serve you and to minister in thy name and to propagate the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee for the opportunities we had in different parts of the world and here at home to share thy word to children, to adults, to people in need, to counsel, to exhort, and to teach, and to share the gospel. We pray that all these efforts may bring great fruits and great return and great response, that the name of the Lord Jesus Christ may be magnified and glorified. Pray that as what we have studied from Mark's Gospel chapter 10 may be a great motivation and a great encouragement and a great incentive for us to love our children and to care for them and to minister to them and to bring them to the Lord Jesus Christ, and above all, to demonstrate before them a Christ-centered home, a Christ-centered marriage, a Christ-centered family, that they may find the sweetness of the blessing of the Lord Jesus Christ, that in the fellowship and in the company of God's people, they may be able to enjoy the sweetness of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we pray for all our little children, pray that thou may continue to bless them, that we think of the ones who have professed faith in thee during the VBS time, those who have understood the gospel truths a little more deeply. We pray that thou may continue to minister to them through thy spirit. We pray for the various efforts going on among us in relation to the ministry among children. Pray that thou may continue to prosper it and bless it for thy glory. Thank thee that thy blessing of the children, as we have read, is an intense blessing. It is not a superficial blessing. It is a real blessing. It is a passionate blessing. Father, we pray that thou may take our children and take them in thine arms and bless them fervently so that they may know the Savior, they may love the Savior, they may understand the scriptures, and they may grow in the grace and knowledge of our Savior. We thank thee for our day together and pray for the Bible study to follow. Bless thy servant and make thy word real and meaningful to us. We commit these things to you and pray this prayer in and through the most exalted name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.